Medical historian Jonathan Reinartz is with us to explain how our hospitals have become the institutions that they are. Jonathan, tell us first of all, how did the whole idea of a hospital come along? When in history did that happen?
Well, I think the first hospitals would have been much smaller than what we have today. But you have to think that moment when you have a large group of patients together in one place. And this often happened on military campaigns, for example, when you have empires expanding like the Roman Empire. Hospitals might have been set up alongside camps to treat a large number of wounded soldiers at one time. But also across countries, you would have had these religious buildings like monasteries developed, which had facilities which we might describe as hospitals, a place which offered hospitality, but often to people who were very weak and weary from extensive travel, who had maybe acquired some sickness. And eventually people realized the benefits of having care organized in this sort of way.
Were hospitals initially for everybody, or was this somewhere that only the needy went?
Absolutely. Now, this is a very important distinction. From the earliest days, hospitals were institutions for people who couldn't ordinarily afford to have a private practitioner treating them within their own home. And a home of a size which would have allowed one bedroom to essentially be set aside as a ward or a private ward, essentially. So yes, the poor, but not all the poor, in the sense that people were going to fund this sort of institution often locally. And what they wanted to ensure was the health of people who worked in local industries and who had helped people locally develop wealth and power. So essentially these institutions were for a particular type of poor, which many people described as the deserving poor. And they were deserving because they had ordinarily worked but then became sick. And in order to avoid these people and entire families falling into destitution, the best idea was to aid their recovery as speedily as possible by providing care in an institution like a hospital.
When did it dawn on doctors that actually having hospitals is a good thing? Because all the time that they are dealing with people in a hospital, they're not having to do long journeys out to random places to see one person. They can see lots of people all at once and possibly learn lots of things at the same time.
Absolutely. I would say that one misconception is that these institutions were run for the poor, with medical practitioners volunteering their time through altruism, that they simply wanted to help the poor. It's clear that they offered a lot of benefits. And for medical practitioners who ordinarily were collecting fees from paying patients, they quickly realized that if they got a post at a local hospital, they would be recognized as the leading practitioners locally. So it advertised your expertise. So people would do this work free of charge because it set them apart from all the other competition and pretenders. It was a very crowded medical marketplace. And if there were only few hospital positions, well, then people saw the advantage of having one of these. But at the same time, anybody who was associated with these institutions very quickly realized that they would see more patients of a particular condition than they might have seen during their entire career in private practice. And this is something that was reiterated by everyone who was involved in setting up some of the first specialist hospitals. So whether it was Moorfields Eye Hospital or Children's Hospital, people emphasized that by spending a few weeks or even months on the wards, they would see more cases than any other private practitioner would have seen through their careers. And that immediately translated into expertise that you could have by affiliating yourself with hospitals. And people certainly recognized that advantage. And that would lead a lot of practitioners to spend time in hospitals.
And presumably underpinned the whole ethos and idea of a teaching hospital.
Well, absolutely. Once you get these teams together, then one of the natural affiliations is to connect these hospitals with the medical schools locally. So eventually, any reputable medical school would only be recognized in the Victorian period if it had a sizable teaching hospital connected to it, like Addenbrooke's, like Charing Cross, like any teaching hospital today. It started with a certain number of beds, usually about 100, not a dozen as might have existed in the first general hospital when it appeared locally, but guaranteeing at least a certain number of patients and enough space to bring an entire medical school into the hospital. So this tradition of walking the wards was very much there when you look at the first provincial medical schools in this country, for example.
And when did this transformation seeming transformation occur, which took us from this small stable with, you know, a handful of patients in it to the huge, great institutions that hospitals are globally today?
Well, I think that that transition is really one that depends on the local economy. And I think if you're talking about a hospital in a capital city, of course, there's a lot of national pride involved. People will certainly invest in this sort of institution. You have to understand, when these hospitals were first established, there were very few large buildings like this in most communities. People, they took notice, and they often included hospitals in their visits. Royalty from other countries coming to this country would have included a hospital visit on their visit. And gradually, as you see this kind of development in other countries, the primary institution to ensure is established is a hospital. So in a lot of other countries around the world, it was clearly an object of civic pride. And the bigger the hospital, the stronger the economy, the stronger the nation. And especially in countries like China today, they build hospitals bigger than any we've seen before. And that is just one more indication of how large and strong their economies have become.
Made in China. Jonathan, thank you very much. That's Jonathan Reinartz, who is from the University of Birmingham.
As Jonathan mentioned,